The Golden Bough. A Study of Magic and Religion. By Sir James George Frazer. This audiobook was produced by Klaus-Dieter Mond, Rastatt, Germany and is published under the conditions of the Gutenberg Organization. Chapter 62. The Fire Festivals of Europe. Section 5. The Midsummer Fires. But the season at which these fire festivals have been most generally held all over Europe is the summer solstice, that is Midsummer Eve, the 23rd of June, or Midsummer Day, the 24th of June. A faint tinge of Christianity has been given to them by naming Midsummer Day after Saint John the Baptist, but we cannot doubt that the celebration dates from a time long before the beginning of our era. The summer solstice, or Midsummer Day, is the great turning point in the sun's career, when, after climbing higher and higher day by day in the sky, the luminary stops and thenceforth retraces his steps down the heavenly road. Such a moment could not but be regarded with anxiety by primitive man so soon as he began to observe and ponder the courses of the great lights across the celestial vault. And having still to learn his own powerlessness in face of the vast cyclic changes of nature, he may have fancied that he could help the sun in his seeming decline, could prop his failing steps and rekindle the sinking flame of the red lamp in his feeble hand. In some such thoughts as these, the midsummer festivals of our European peasantry may perhaps have taken their rise. Whatever their origin, they have prevailed all over this quarter of the globe, from Ireland on the west to Russia on the east, and from Norway and Sweden on the north to Spain and Greece on the south. According to a medieval writer, the three great features of the midsummer celebration were the bonfires, the procession with torches round the fields, and the custom of rolling a wheel. He tells us that boys burned bones and filth of various kinds to make a foul smoke, and that the smoke drove away certain noxious dragons which at this time, excited by the summer heat, copulated in the air and poisoned the wells and rivers by dropping their seed into them. And he explains the custom of trundling a wheel to mean that the sun, having now reached the highest point in the ecliptic, begins thence a forward to descend. The main features of the Midsummer Fire Festival resemble those which we have found to characterize the vernal festivals of fire. The similarity of the two sets of ceremonies will plainly appear from the following examples. A writer of the first half of the 16th century informs us that in almost every village and town of Germany public bonfires were kindled on the eve of Saint John, and young and old, of both sexes, gathered about them and passed the time in dancing and singing. People on this occasion wore chaplets of mugwort and vervain, and they looked at the fire through bunches of larkspur which they held in their hands, believing that this would preserve their eyes in a healthy state throughout the year. As each departed, he threw the mugwort and vervain into the fire, saying, "May all my ill luck depart and be burnt up with ease." At Lurkhans, a village situated on a hillside overlooking the Moselle, the midsummer festival used to be celebrated as follows. A quantity of straw was collected on the top of the steep Stromberg hill. Every inhabitant, or at least every householder, had to contribute his share of straw to the pile. At nightfall the whole male population, men and boys, mustered on the top of the hill. The women and girls were not allowed to join them, but had to take up the position at a certain spring halfway down the slope. On the summit stood a huge wheel completely encased in some of the straw which had been jointly contributed by the villagers. The rest of the straw was made into torches. From each side of the wheel the axle tree projected about 3 feet, thus furnishing handles to the lads who were to guide it in its descent. The mayor of the neighboring town of Sirk, who always received a basket of cherries for his services, gave the signal. A lighted torch was applied to the wheel, and as it burst into flame, two young fellows, strong-limbed and swift of foot, seized the handles and began running with it down the slope. A great shout went up. Every man and boy waved a blazing torch in the air, and took care to keep it alight so long as the wheel was trundling down the hill. The great object of the young men who guided the wheel was to plunge it blazing into the water of the Moselle. But they rarely succeeded in their efforts, for the vineyards which cover the greater part of the declivity impeded and the progress, and the wheel was often burnt out before it reached the river. As it rolled past the women and girls at the spring, they raised cries of joy which were answered by the men on the top of the mountain. And the shouts were echoed by the inhabitants of neighboring villages who watched the spectacle from their hills on the opposite bank of the Moselle. If the fiery wheel was successfully conveyed to the bank of the river and extinguished in the water, the people looked for an abundant vintage that year, and the inhabitants of Cons had the right to exact a wagon load of white wine from the surrounding vineyards. On the other hand, they believed that, if they neglected to perform the ceremony, the cattle would be attacked by giddiness and convulsions and would dance in their stalls. Down at least to the middle of the 19th century, the midsummer fires used to blaze all over Upper Bavaria. They were kindled especially on the mountains, but also far and wide in the lowlands, and we are told that in the darkness and stillness of night the moving groups, lit up by the flickering glow of the flames, presented an impressive spectacle. Cattle were driven through the fire to cure the sick animals and to guard such as were sound against plague and harm of every kind throughout the year. Many a householder on that day put out the fire on the domestic hearth and rekindled it by means of a brand taken from the midsummer bonfire. The people judged of the height to which the flax would grow in the year by the height to which the flames of the bonfire rose. And whoever leaped over the burning bile was sure not to suffer from backache in reaping the corn at harvest. In many parts of Bavaria it was believed that the flax would grow as high as the young people leaped over the fire. In others the old folk used to plant 3 charred sticks from the bonfire in the fields, believing that this would make the flax grow tall. Elsewhere an extinguished brand was put in the roof of the house to protect it against fire. In the towns about Würzburg the bonfires used to be kindled in the marketplaces, and the young people who jumped over them wore garlands of flowers, especially of mugwort and vervain, and carried sprigs of larkspur in their hands. They thought that such as looked at the fire holding a bit of larkspur before their face would be troubled by no malady of the eyes throughout the year. Further, it was customary at Würzburg, in the 16th century, for the bishop's followers to throw burning discs of wood into the air from a mountain which overhangs the town. The discs were discharged by means of flexible rods, and in their flight through the darkness presented the appearance of fiery dragons. Similarly in Swabia, lads and lasses, hand in hand, leap over the midsummer bonfire, praying that the hemp may grow 3 ells high, and they set fire to wheels of straw and send them rolling down the hill. Sometimes, as the people sprang over the midsummer bonfire they cried out, "Flax, flax! May the flax this year grow 7 ells high!" At Rottenburg a rude effigy in human form, called the Angelman, used to be enveloped in flowers and then burnt in the midsummer fire by boys, who afterwards leaped over the glowing embers. So in Baden the children collected fuel from house to house for the midsummer bonfire on St. John's Day. And lads and lasses leaped over the fire in couples. Here, as elsewhere, a close connection was traced between these bonfires and the harvest. In some places it was thought that those who leaped over the fires would not suffer from backache at reaping. Sometimes, as the young folk sprang over the flames, they cried, "Grow, that the hemp may be 3 ells high." This notion that the hemp or the corn would grow as high as the flames blazed or as the people jumped over them, seems to have been widespread in Baden. It was held that the parents of the young people who bounded highest over the fire would have the most abundant harvest. And on the other hand, if a man contributed nothing to the bonfire, it was imagined that there would be no blessing on his crops, and that his hemp in particular would never grow. At Edersleben, near Sangerhausen, a high pole was planted in the ground and a tar barrel was hung from it by a chain which reached to the ground. The barrel was then set on fire and swung round the pole amid shouts of joy. In Denmark and Norway also midsummer fires were kindled on St. John's Eve on roads, open spaces, and hills. People in Norway thought that the fires banished sickness from among the cattle. Even yet the fires are said to be lighted all over Norway on Midsummer Eve. They are kindled in order to keep off the witches, who are said to be flying from all parts that night to the Blocksberg, where the big witch lives. In Sweden, the eve of St. John, St. Hans, is the most joyous night of the whole year. Throughout some parts of the country, especially in the provinces of Bohus and Scania and in districts bordering on Norway, it is celebrated by the frequent discharge of firearms and by huge bonfires, formerly called Baldersballefires, Baldersballar, which are kindled at dusk on hills and eminences and throw a glare of light over the surrounding landscape. The people dance round the fires and leap over or through them. In parts of Norrland on St. John's Eve, the bonfires are lit at the crossroads. The fuel consists of 9 different sorts of wood, and the spectators cast into the flames a kind of toadstool, barren, in order to counteract the power of the trolls and other evil spirits, who are believed to be abroad that night. For it that's mystic season, the mountains open and from their cavernous depths the uncanny crew pours forth to dance and disport themselves for a time. The peasants believe that should any of the trolls be in the vicinity, they will show themselves. And if an animal, for example a he or she goat, happens to be seen near the blazing, crackling pile, the peasants are firmly persuaded that it is no other than the evil one in person. Further, it deserves to be remarked that in Sweden St. John's Eve is a festival of water as well as of fire. For certain holy springs are then supposed to be endowed with wonderful medicinal virtues, and many sick people resort to them for the healing of their infirmities. In Austria, the midsummer customs and superstitions resemble those of Germany. Thus, in some parts of the Tyrol, bonfires are kindled and burning discs hurled into the air. In the lower valley of the Inn at Atterdemalle, an effigy is carted about the village on Midsummer Day and then burned. He is called the Lauter, which has been corrupted into Luther. At Ambris, one of the villages where Martin Luther is thus burned in effigy, they say that if you go through the village between 11 and 12 on St. John's night and wash yourself in 3 wells, you will see all who are to die in the following year. At Graz on St. John's Eve, the 23rd of June, the common people used to make a puppet called the Tartar Man, which they dragged to the bleaching ground, and pelted with burning besom till it took fire. At Rjut, in the Tyrol, people believed that the flax would grow as high as they leaped over the midsummer bonfire, and they took pieces of charred wood from the fire and stuck them in their flax fields the same night, leaving them there till the flax harvest had been got in. In the Lower Austria, bonfires are kindled on the heights, and the boys cape around them, brandishing lighted torches drenched in pitch. Whoever jumps thrice across the fire will not suffer from fever within the year. Cartwheels are often smeared with pitch, ignited, and sent rolling and blazing down the hillsides. All over Bohemia, bonfires still burn on Midsummer Eve. In the afternoon, boys go about with handcarts from house to house collecting fuel and threatening with evil consequences the curmudgeons who refuse them at all. Sometimes the young men fell a tall straight fir in the woods and set it up on a height, where the girls deck it with nosegays, wreaths of leaves, and red ribbons. Then brushwood is piled about it, and at nightfall the whole is set on fire. While the flames break out, the young men climb the tree and fetch down the wreaths which the girls had placed on it. After that, lads and lasses stand on opposite sides of the fire and look at one another through the wreaths to see whether they will be true to each other and marry within the year. Also the girls throw the wreaths across the flames to the men, and woe to the awkward swain who fails to catch the wreath thrown him by his sweetheart. When the blaze has died down, each couple takes hands and leaps thrice across the fire. He or she who does so will be free from ague throughout the year, and the flax will grow as high as the young folk sleep. A girl who sees 9 bonfires on Midsummer Eve will marry before the year is out. The synced wreaths are carried home and carefully preserved throughout the year. During thunderstorms, a bit of the wreath is burned on the hearth with a prayer. Some of it is given to kin that are sick or calving, and some of it serves to fumigate house and cattle stall, that man and beast may keep hale and well. Sometimes an old cartwheel is smeared with resin, ignited, and sent rolling down the hill. Often the boys collect all the worn-out besoms they can get hold of, dip them in pitch, and having set them on fire wave them about or throw them high into the air. Or they rush down the hillside in troops, brandishing the flaming brooms and shouting. The stumps of the brooms and embers from the fire are preserved and stuck in cabbage gardens to protect the cabbages from caterpillars and gnats. Some people insert charred sticks and ashes from the midsummer bonfire in their sowing fields and meadows, in their gardens and the roofs of their houses, as a talisman against lightning and foul weather. Or they fancy that the ashes placed in the roof will prevent any fire from breaking out in the house. In some districts they crown or gird themselves with mugwort while the midsummer fire is burning, for this is supposed to be a protection against ghosts, witches, and sickness. In particular, a wreath of mugwort is a sure preventive of sore eyes. Sometimes the girls look at the bonfires through garlands of wild flowers, praying the fire to strengthen their eyes and eyelids. She who does this thrice will have no sore eyes all that year. In some parts of Bohemia they use to drive the cows through the midsummer fire to guard them against witchcraft. In Slavonic countries, also, the midsummer festival is celebrated with similar rites. We have already seen that in Russia on the eve of St. John young men and maidens jump over a bonfire in couples carrying a straw effigy of Kapalo in their arms. In some parts of Russia an image of Kapalo is burnt or thrown into a stream on St. John's night. Again, in some districts of Russia the young folk wear garlands of flowers and girdles of holy herbs when they spring through the smoke or flames. And sometimes they drive the cattle also through the fire in order to protect the animals against wizards and witches, who are then ravenous after milk. In Little Russia a stake is driven into the ground on St. John's night, wrapped in straw, and set on fire. As the flames rise the peasant women throw birch and boughs into them, saying, "May my flax be as tall as this bough." In Ruthenia the bonfires are lighted by a flame procured by the friction of wood. While the elders of the party are engaged in thus churning the fire, the rest maintain a respectful silence. But when the flame bursts from the wood, they break forth into joyous songs. As soon as the bonfires are kindled, the young people take hands and leap in pairs through the smoke, if not through the flames. And after that the cattle in their turn are driven through the fire. In many parts of Prussia and Lithuania great fires are kindled on Midsummer Eve. All the heights are ablaze with them, as far as the eye can see. The fires are supposed to be a protection against witchcraft, thunder, hail, and cattle disease, especially if next morning the cattle are driven over the places where the fires burned. Above all, the bonfires ensure the farmer against the arts of witches, who try to steal the milk from his cows by charms and spells. That is why next morning you may see the young fellows who lit the bonfire going from house to house and receiving jugfuls of milk. And for the same reason they stick burrs and mugwort on the gate or the hedge through which the cows go to pasture, because that is supposed to be a preservative against witchcraft. In Mazan, a district of eastern Prussia inhabited by a branch of the Polish family, it is the custom on the evening of Midsummer Day to put out all the fires in the village. Then an oaken stake is driven into the ground and a wheel is fixed on it as on an axle. This wheel the villagers, working by relays, cause to revolve with great rapidity till fire is produced by friction. Everyone takes home a lighted brand from the new fire and with it rekindles the fire on the domestic hearth. In Serbia on Midsummer Eve herdsmen light torches of birch bark and march round the sheepfolds and cattle stalls. Then they climb the hills and there allow the torches to burn out. Among the Magyars in Hungary the Midsummer Fire Festival is marked by the same features that meet us in so many parts of Europe. On Midsummer Eve in many places it is customary to kindle bonfires on heights and to leap over them. And from the manner in which the young people leap the bystanders predict whether they will marry soon. On this day also many Hungarian swineherds herds make fire by rotating a wheel round a wooden axle wrapped in hemp, and through the fire thus made they drive the pigs to preserve them from sickness. The Estonians of Russia, who, like the Magyars, belong to the great Turanian family of mankind, also celebrate the summer solstice in the usual way. They think that the St. John's fire keeps witches from the cattle, and they say that he who does not come to it will have his barley full of thistles and his oats full of weeds. In the Estonian island of Oesel, while they throw fuel into the midsummer fire, they call out, "Weeds to the fire, flax to the field," or they fling three billets into the flames, saying, "Flax grow along." And they take charred sticks from the bonfire home with them and keep them to make the cattle thrive. In some parts of the island, the bonfire is formed by piling brushwood and other combustibles round a tree, at the top of which a flag flies. Whoever succeeds in knocking down the flag with a pole before it begins to burn will have good luck. Formerly, the festivities lasted till daybreak, and ended in scenes of debauchery which look doubly hideous by the growing light of a summer morning. When we pass from the east to the west of Europe, we still find the summer solstice celebrated with rites of the same general character. Down to about the middle of the 19th century, the custom of lighting bonfires at midsummer prevailed so commonly in France that there was hardly a town or a village, we are told, where they were not kindled. People danced round and leaped over them, and took charred sticks from the bonfire home with them to protect the houses against lighting, conflagrations, and spells. In Brittany, apparently, the custom of the midsummer bonfires is kept up to this day. When the flames have died down, the whole assembly kneels round about the bonfire and an old man prays aloud. Then they all rise and march thrice round the fire. At the third turn they stop and everyone picks up a pebble and throws it on the burning pile. After that they disperse. In Brittany and Berry it is believed that a girl who dances round 9 midsummer bonfires will marry within the year. In the valley of the Orne the custom was to kindle the bonfire just at the moment when the sun was about to dip below the horizon. And the peasants drove their cattle through the fires to protect them against witchcraft, especially against the spells of witches and wizards who attempted to steal the milk and butter. At Jumièges in Normandy, down to the first half of the 19th century, the midsummer festival was marked by certain singular features which bore the stamp of a very high antiquity. Every year, on the 23rd of June, the eve of St. John, the Brotherhood of the Green Wolf chose a new chief or master, who had always to be taken from the hamlet of Conihout. On being elected, the new head of the Brotherhood assumed the title of the Green Wolf, and donned a peculiar costume consisting of a long green mantle and a very tall green hat of a conical shape and without a brim. Thus arrayed, he stalked solemnly at the head of the brothers, chanting the hymn of St. John, the crucifix and holy banner leading the way, to a place called Chowkwit. Here the procession was met by the priest, precentors, and choir, who conducted the Brotherhood to the parish church. After hearing mass, the company adjourned to the house of the Green Wolf, where a simple repast was served up to them. At night a bonfire was kindled to the sound of handbells by a young man and a young woman, both decked with flowers. Then the Green Wolf and his brothers, with their hoods down on their shoulders and holding each other by the hand, ran round the fire after the man who had been chosen to be the Green Wolf of the following year. Though only the first and the last man of the chain had a hand free, their business was to surround and seize thrice the future Green Wolf, who in his efforts to escape belabored the brothers with a long wand which he carried. When at last they succeeded in catching him, they carried him to the burning pile and made as if they would throw him on it. This ceremony over, they returned to the house of the Green Wolf, where a supper, still of the most meagre fare, was set before them. Up till midnight a sort of religious solemnity prevailed. But at the stroke of 12 all this was changed. Constraint gave way to license. Pious hymns were replaced by bacchanalian ditties, and the shrill quavering notes of the village fiddle hardly rose above the roar of voices that went up from the merry brotherhood of the Green Wolf. Next day, the 24th of June or Midsummer Day, was celebrated by the same personages with the same noisy gaiety. One of the ceremonies consisted in parading, to the sound of musketry, an enormous loaf of consecrated bread, which, rising in tiers, was surmounted by a pyramid of verdure adorned with ribbons. After that the holy handbells, deposited on the step of the altar, were entrusted as insignia of office to the man who was to be the Green Wolf next year. At Chateau Thierry, in the department of Aisne, the custom of lighting bonfires and dancing round them at the Midsummer Festival of St. John lasted down to about 1850. The fires were kindled especially when June had been rainy, and the people thought that the lighting of the bonfires would cause the rain to cease. In the Vosges it is still customary to kindle bonfires upon the hilltops on Midsummer Eve. The people believe that the fires help to preserve the fruits of the earth and ensure good crops. Bonfires were lit in almost all the hamlets of Poitou on the eve of St. John. People marched round them thrice, carrying a branch of walnut in their hand. Shepherdesses and children passed sprigs of mullein, verbascum, and nuts across the flames. The nuts were supposed to cure toothache, and the mullein to protect the cattle from sickness and sorcery. When the fire died down, people took some of the ashes home with them, either to keep them in the house as a preservative against thunder or to scatter them on the fields for the purpose of destroying corn cockles and darnel. In Poitou also it used to be customary on the eve of St. John to trundle a blazing wheel wrapped in straw over the fields to fertilize them. In the mountainous part of Comminges, a province of southern France, the midsummer fire is made by splitting open the trunk of a tall tree, stuffing the crevice with shavings, and igniting the whole. A garland of flowers is fastened to the top of the tree, and at the moment when the fire is lighted the man who was last married has to climb up a ladder and bring the flowers down. In the flat parts of the same district the materials of the midsummer bonfires consist of fuel piled in the usual way. But they must be put together by men who have been married since the last midsummer festival, and each of these benedicts is obliged to lay a wreath of flowers on the top of the pile. In Provence the midsummer fires are still popular. Children go from door to door begging for fuel, and they are seldom sent empty away. Formerly the priest, the mayor, and the aldermen used to walk in procession to the bonfire, and even deigned to light it. After which the assembly marched thrice round the burning pile. At Aix a nominal king, chosen from among the youth for his skill in shooting at a popinjay, presided over the midsummer festival. He selected his own officers, and escorted by a brilliant train marched to the bonfire, kindled it, and was the first to dance round it. Next day he distributed largesse to his followers. His reign lasted a year, during which he enjoyed certain privileges. He was allowed to attend the mass celebrated by the commander of the Knights of St. John on St. John's Day. The right of hunting was accorded to him, and soldiers might not be quartered in his house. At Marseilles also on this day one of the guilds chose a king of the Badache or Double Axe. But it does not appear that he kindled the bonfire, which is said to have been lighted with great ceremony by the prefect and other authorities. In Belgium the custom of kindling the midsummer bonfires has long disappeared from the great cities, but it is still kept up in rural districts and small towns. In that country the eve of St. Peter's Day, the 29th of June, is celebrated by bonfires and dances exactly like those which commemorate St. John's Eve. Some people say that the fires of St. Peter, like those of St. John, are lighted in order to drive away dragons. In French Flanders down to 1789 a straw figure representing a man was always burned in the midsummer bonfire, and the figure of a woman was burned on St. Peter's Day, the 29th of June. In Belgium people jump over the midsummer bonfires as a preventive of colic, and they keep the ashes at home to hinder fire from breaking out. The custom of lighting bonfires at midsummer has been observed in many parts of our own country, and as usual people danced round and leaped over them. In Wales 3 or 9 different kinds of wood and charred faggots carefully preserved from the last midsummer were deemed necessary to build the bonfire, which was generally done on rising ground. In the Vale of Glamorgan a cartwheel swathed in straw used to be ignited and sent rolling down the hill. If it kept alight all the way down and blazed for a long time, an abundant harvest was expected. On Midsummer Eve people in the Isle of Man were wont to light fires to the windward of every field, so that the smoke might pass over the corn. and they folded their cattle and carried blazing furze or gorse round them several times. In Ireland, cattle, especially barren cattle, were driven through the midsummer fires, and the ashes were thrown on the fields to fertilize them, or live coals were carried into them to prevent blight. In Scotland, the traces of midsummer fires are few. But at that season in the highlands of Perthshire, cowherds used to go round their folds thrice, in the direction of the sun, with lighted torches. This they did to purify the flocks and herds and to keep them from falling sick. The practice of lighting bonfires on Midsummer Eve and dancing or leaping over them is, or was till recently, common all over Spain and in some parts of Italy and Sicily. In Malta, great fires are kindled in the streets and squares of the towns and villages on the eve of St. John, Midsummer Eve. Formerly, the Grand Master of the Order of St. John used on that evening to set fire to a heap of pitch barrels placed in front of the sacred hospital. In Greece, too, the custom of kindling fires on St. John's Eve and jumping over them is said to be still universal. One reason assigned for it is a wish to escape from the fleas. According to another account, the women cry out, as they leap over the fire, "I leave my sins behind me." In Lesbos, the fires on St. John's Eve are usually lighted by threes, and the people spring thrice over them, each with a stone on his head, saying, "I jump the hare's fire, my head a stone." In Calymnus, the midsummer fire is supposed to ensure abundance in the coming year as well as deliverance from fleas. The people dance round the fires singing, with stones on their heads, and then jump over the blaze or the glowing embers. When the fire is burning low, they throw the stones into it. And when it is nearly out, they make crosses on their legs and then go straightway and bathe in the sea. The custom of kindling bonfires on Midsummer Day or on Midsummer Eve is widely spread among the Mohammedan peoples of North Africa, particularly in Morocco and Algeria. It is common both to the Berbers and to many of the Arabs or Arabic-speaking tribes. In these countries, Midsummer Day, the 24th of June, Old Style, is called Lansara. The fires are lit in the courtyards, at crossroads, in the fields, and sometimes on the threshing floors. Plants which in burning give out a thick smoke and an aromatic smell are much sought after for fuel on these occasions. Among the plants used for the purpose are giant fennel, thyme, rue, chervil seed, chamomile, geranium, and pennyroyal. People expose themselves, and especially their children, to the smoke, and drive it towards the orchards and the crops. Also, they leap across the fires. In some places, everybody ought to repeat the leap 7 times. Moreover, they take burning brands from the fires and carry them through the houses in order to fumigate them. They pass things through the fire, and bring the sick into contact with it, while they utter prayers for their recovery. The ashes of the bonfires are also reputed to possess beneficial properties. Hence, in some places, people rub their hair or their bodies with them. In some places, they think that by leaping over the fires they rid themselves of all misfortune, and that childless couples thereby obtain offspring. Berbers of the Rif province, in northern Morocco, make great use of fires at midsummer for the good of themselves, their cattle, and their fruit trees. They jump over the bonfires in the belief that this will preserve them in good health, and they light fires under fruit trees to keep the fruit from falling untimely. And they imagine that by rubbing a paste of the ashes on their hair they prevent the hair from falling off their heads. In all these Moroccan customs, we are told, the beneficial effect is attributed wholly to the smoke, which is supposed to be endowed with a magical quality that removes misfortune from men, animals, fruit trees and crops. The celebration of a midsummer festival by Mohammedan peoples is particularly remarkable, because the Mohammedan calendar, being purely lunar and unconnected by intercalation, necessarily takes no note of festivals which occupy fixed points in the solar year. All strictly Mohammedan feasts, being pinned to the moon, slide gradually with that luminary through the whole period of the Earth's revolution about the sun. This fact of itself seems to prove that among the Mohammedan peoples of northern Africa, as among the Christian peoples of Europe, the midsummer festival is quite independent of the religion which the people publicly profess, and is a relic of a far older paganism.